Welcome to Learning Bible Truth Ministries. I am the founder, host, and teacher, your one and only Dr. Kamala D. Here to teach you Bible truth so you can grow in faith and learn how to walk in God's amazing grace. So get your Bibles, invite family and friends, take notes, and let's learn Bible truth. Good day, everyone. Today is Monday, February the 5th of the year 2024. I am the host, founder, and teacher of Learning Bible Truth Ministries, your one and only Dr. Kamala D. I hope this day finds you and your family well. I know you guys were expecting episode 2 over the weekend, but I was just too busy. I truly was. I was just too busy. I made a promise to myself, if I am too exhausted, I will not get on the air and share anything, because I would make a fool out of myself, and I definitely don't want to make a fool out of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, today is episode 2 of this 2-part series entitled, And This Is Eternal Life, Knowing the True God. And episode 2 is Knowing the True God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Now, I don't want to belabor any longer because this one may be a little bit longer than episode 1. So let's get this truth on the road. I want you to go back to John chapter 17. I am going to once again read our opening scriptures. John chapter 17, for those of you who don't know, is the Lord's Prayer. The Our Father who art in heaven, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That is a model prayer Jesus gave the apostles something to use to at least teach them how to pray and some of the things they need to say. And that's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17. Okay, now I'll be reading more scriptures in John chapter 17. I'll be reading verses 1 through 5 instead of 1 through 3. Now I'll begin this episode reading from the New Living Translation, but I'll be switching translations throughout this episode. It's okay if you have a different version, because in the end, we will be on the same page. All right. Amen. So I am reading John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And Jesus goes on to explain in verse 3 what eternal life is. He says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Verse 4 and 5 says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, and this is the new relationship. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. My Lord, my Lord, eternal life is not just knowing the one true God, but knowing Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Now, in episode 1, I proved that the Bible says there's only one God, and I truly believe in the Bible. That's the only God documented who has power. So that's the only true God who created the heavens and the earth. Okay, now Jesus dispels all myths that say there are many ways to get to the one true God. That's just simply not true. There isn't many ways to get to the one true God. Now, if we want to spend eternal life with God, when our lives end on earth or when this world ends, we must also know Jesus Christ, because he came forth from the one true God. Now, Jesus says in verse 5, "Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." Now, we are going to look at some scriptures that prove Jesus came directly from the Father and confirm the two mysteries of God's will. One of them is that all nations would unite in Christ. Now, it doesn't appear that way today, because over 2,000 years post-Christ, nations are still serving idol gods. Gods they carved with their own hands, gods they created in their minds, and they are worshiping. And one of them is well known with over 1 billion followers. And my prayer for them is that they find Christ. Some of them are in small groups finding Christ. And if they don't get out of that country, as soon as they reveal that they found the Lord Jesus Christ, or shall I say Jesus found them, they are killed. Yes, they are killed. So my heart goes out to my brothers and sisters in Christ who are in other countries where they cannot express that they serve the one true God, my Lord. Now, first, let's confirm the only way you can come to Christ is if God sends you. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I'm switching to the New King James Version, and I'll be reading verses 44 and 45. And this is Jesus talking. It says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And verse 45 says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Now, what is Jesus saying here? Number one, God has to send you to Christ. He has to send you to him. How does God choose who he sends to Jesus? By searching your heart to see if you are sincere about seeking the true and living God. That's what he does. And number two, those who read the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah shall be taught by God. And if you have truly understood what the prophets said about God, you would come to Christ. There would be no misunderstanding. Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, verses 15 and through 17, let's read. He says to them, "But who do you say that I am?" In verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And let me reiterate the fact that the Bible is always talking about a living God, or no, not a, let me correct myself now, the living God, or there's only one true God. It lets us know that there are some false gods out here. That's what Peter apparently is aware of. Verse 16 again, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," not a dead God, the living God. Verse 17 is important because Jesus says this, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." And Bar-Jonah is not Simon's last name. Bar means son of. And Jonah is his father's name. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," he is saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." Let me continue. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." That's who told Peter, or that's who revealed to Peter who Jesus is. Not was, but who Jesus is. So if you are on the fence about who Jesus is and someone convinced you that you can get to God without going through Christ, this episode should close the window of confusion for you. Moses, who also operated in the office of a prophet, told the children of Israel that God was going to send them a prophet like him. Why like him? Why God wasn't going to send them a prophet like Jeremiah? Or a prophet like Isaiah? Because Moses was a deliverer for the children of Israel. So what Moses was revealing to the children of Israel is what God revealed to us about his Redeemer, he was sending a final prophet. Now, Jesus, his ministry was that of a prophet. Although he was the savior of the world, although he was the redeemer for the children of Israel, and not just them, but for the Gentiles as well. That's us. He also operated in the office of a prophet. That was his ministry. He spoke about future events, because that's what a prophet is. And trust me, we are seeing those events unfold today. Jesus also told them about what the past prophets had said about the coming of the Messiah. And he was telling them things that he was doing had been prophesied already. So let's take a look at what Moses said about the coming of a Messiah. And then we're going to look at Jesus confirming that he is the one Moses was talking about. So I want you to go to Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I'm going to read verse 15. This is the New Living Translation. Deuteronomy. Moses continued, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites." And of course, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. "You must listen to him." Now that's Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, New Living. Now, John chapter 5, verse 46 and 47, this is the New King James Version. It says, "For if you believed Moses," this is Jesus continuing to talk to the non-believers, "for if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote about me." This is Jesus confirming that Moses was talking about him. "But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Luke 24, verses 25 and 26. I'm still in the New King James Version. Let me say this so I won't have to keep mentioning what version of the Bible I'm reading. Unless I tell you that I'm switching to another version once I tell you the version I'm reading from, I'm still in that version of the Bible that I mentioned. Okay. So right now I'm in the New King James Version. Luke 24, verses 25 and 26 says, and this is Jesus talking. Verse 25, "Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Now, this is Jesus telling them, if you believe what the prophet said about the coming of the Messiah, you would understand that I am him, that the things that I am going to go through, the things that you are seeing me experience right now was mentioned by the prophets. Now, finally, let's look at the Israelites who believed and knew that Jesus was the one Moses wrote about. Not everyone was a non-believer now. We have some children of Israel that did believe. Go to John chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 29 through 34. And it says this, for the sake of time, I'm just going to read through the scriptures. I'm reading John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water." Verse 32 says, "And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And finally, verse 34 says, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Now, we all know John is the one prophesied by the prophets that would come before Jesus and pave the way and baptize people in water for the remission of sins, for them to repent of their apostasy and pave the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. So John was letting them know. And one very important part, when John says that in verse 32, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, this was a sign that God told John he was going to send so that John wouldn't be deceived, that he would know exactly who the Messiah was. He was going to cause the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to descend on Jesus like a dove. And that's how John knew that was Jesus. See, you couldn't deceive John. Couldn't know anybody walk up to John and say, I'm him. I'm him. I'm the man. No, Only one Holy Spirit came and descended upon Jesus like a dove when just before John baptized him. And that's how John knew that was the Messiah. Now, Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 24 says this. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. This is Luke's version. And a voice came from heaven, which said, you are my beloved son. In you, I am well pleased. My Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you can also read, I'm not going to read these two. You can also read Psalms chapter 2, Psalms 2 verse 7 and Isaiah 42 verse 1, talking about the coming of the Messiah. Now John chapter 1 verses 41 through 45 says this. Let me check something right quick, saints. Okay. John chapter 1 verses 41 through 45 says this. He first found his own brother Simon. Now this is the disciples understanding who Jesus was, understanding that this is the one Moses was talking about. They knew the Bible. They knew and heard, they saw and heard of the things, the miracles Jesus was performing and some of the things he was going through. They knew this was the man, including what John saw when John baptized Jesus. Okay, beginning at verse 41, this is John chapter 1. It says, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. Verse 42 and 43 says, and he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. Remember I told you a few minutes ago when it says Simon bar Jonah? Bar means son of. And right here, Jesus is saying it. He says, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Verse 43 says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Verse 44 and 45 says, listen to this. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have found him. We found the one Moses was talking about it. Moses and the prophets wrote about. We found him. We got him. God bless Philip. Now, we confirm that Moses was talking about Jesus. There should be no doubt about that. Not Muhammad. He wasn't talking about Buddha. Not the Dalai Lama. He was talking about Jesus. So John was talking about Jesus as the one that would come after him. John said he was not the Messiah. He was not the anointed one. He was the one that was supposed to pave the way. That was also written in the prophets. He was going to be the one crying out in the wilderness, paving the way for the coming of the Messiah. Now, let's review the mysteries of God, which includes Jesus. The mysteries of God. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 9 through 12. Beginning at verse 9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. Verse 11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And verse 12 says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians after being told about false doctrine being taught. Paul was affirming the mystery of God's will is in Christ. They were chosen by God according to the word of God. They first trusted in Christ to the praise of Christ's glory, meaning who Christ truly is. Now, 1 John 5:20 says this, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You need to keep 1 John 5:20 written in your heart. This is the true God and eternal life. Remember, eternal life is knowing the true God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. And 1 John 1:20, the latter part says, this is the true God and eternal life, referring to Jesus. Now, knowing Christ is the will of the one true God. We are in Christ. That's one of the mysteries. We are in Christ. Keep in mind, I just said that's one of the mysteries. Now, what I am about to say is deep. Now, if Christ is in you, you will understand what I am about to say. Okay? We all know that the wages of sin is death. However, those in Christ will never be condemned. Why? Because once you accept Christ as Lord and Savior and you sin or miss the mark, which is what sin is, God doesn't see you because you are hidden in Christ. God looks at the punishment that Christ took for you and me on the cross. And through our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, when we first came to Christ, he threw all of our sins that we committed before we came to Christ in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. This is why John also says that if we confess our sins, this is after we have entered into Christ. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins continuously, not one time, because as long as we are in this flesh, we are in a fight. We just have to fight the good fight of faith. Okay, we have to fight the good fight of faith. Remember, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We will never be condemned. Once we come to Christ, we will never be condemned. We have eternal life in Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, 1 through 4, he says this, and this is the NIV, the New International Version. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2 and 3 says this, because through Christ Jesus, remember the key is through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4 says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. My Lord, this is powerful. The law is righteous, but we are not under the laws of Moses. I told you this was going to be deep. Jesus kept the entire law because no one on earth was able to do it. The law was never created. The laws of Moses I'm talking about was never created for man to keep so that he can be made righteous in the sight of God. The law couldn't do it. What the law did was weaken the flesh, because everything the law said you couldn't do or shouldn't do, they did it anyway because they were not born again. The law was put in place temporarily until Jesus came. Jesus kept the entire law because man couldn't do it. He kept the entire law, all 619 of them. There's this age-old argument whether it was 613, 619. Well, to be on the safe side, it doesn't matter if it was 100. None of us could keep it. The forefathers of the Israelites couldn't keep it. Nobody in the Bible was ever saved under the law. They were all saved, the ones who were saved in the Old Testament, because they believed on the coming of the Messiah before he came. That's a whole nother teaching I will be teaching about in 2024. How those of old, the heroes of faith, their faith wasn't in the law. Their faith was in the coming of the Messiah. That's why Abraham is the father of all. Abraham is the father of faith, because he believed on the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so as a result of his beliefs, his faith in Christ, before he even, and this was thousands of years before Christ came, Abraham is with Christ right now. Yes, he is, along with all the other believers in the Old Testament. They weren't saved because of the law. They couldn't keep it. Why do you think they had to have animal sacrifices? Because they could not keep the law. They killed enough animals back in those days, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So they had to sacrifice blood, and God would not accept the sacrifice of a sinful man. So they had to look for a clean animal, or animals that they considered to be clean back in the day. And that's a whole nother teaching as well. But the purpose of me reading Romans 8, 1 through 4, is so that you can know that those in Christ, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We are in him. We are hidden in Christ. So God doesn't see us. Christ advocates on our behalf. Whenever we sin, his blood is still our sacrifice. We should strive to live holy, but because we are imperfect, because we live in this imperfect body, we are going to fall every now and then. And for those of you who think you are holier than thou, the Bible is clear. Anything that is not of faith is sin. And you know you don't have faith for everything. And the wages of sin, the Bible doesn't say what type of sin. The wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is still eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you hear some stuff going on in the background, I just had to adjust this chair. And I was doing so much. Let's get back to this truth. So back to John 17, verse 3. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God. And this is the New Living Translation. And Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. My Lord, now you can only be forgiven for your sins if you accept what Christ did on the cross as punishment for your sins. Somebody had to die for it. Somebody had to pay for your sins. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have been able to do it. Oh, I would not have been able to accept that punishment. Jesus did. Because God would have had to destroy this entire earth. He figured out a way to redeem mankind. He said, you know what? I'm going to put on a flesh, put on a body, and go to earth to understand people. I need to understand why they can't listen. I need to understand why some are so evil. I need to understand this. So God will not accept animal sacrifices. You can go kill a million animals. Sorry, that's done away with. When Christ died on the cross, the Old Testament was done away with. And we are under a New Testament, the Testament of Love. We are under a blood-bought covenant between Jesus and God. Oh, yes. Now, I don't know about you, but I am. I'm in the blood-bought covenant between Jesus and God. And Jesus is my advocate. Yes, he is. So let me say this again. God will not accept your good works to redeem you from your sins, nor will he accept animal sacrifices, because your works ain't good enough to pay for your sins. Mm-mm, not good enough. Only the blood of Jesus is. Now, God will not accept you being a part of a religion or a denomination for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the only sacrifice acceptable to God for the forgiveness of sins. We need to understand that. It took me years to get it because I didn't know this word. Now, don't get me wrong. After you accept Christ, there should be some good works coming out of you. After you accept Christ, after you are born again, you shouldn't be the same person anymore. You should be walking in love. Uh-huh. Now, let's go to the final mystery of God, and it's found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. This is the final mystery of God. And it says, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, that's us. Gentiles are anyone who is not a Jew. The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh my, that's the mystery of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery is Christ in you, my Lord. The seal of the Holy Spirit that is freely given to all believers in Christ. That is the Christ that is in us, the hope of his glory. That hope is contingent upon Christ's return. That is what our hope is in. We know he's going to return to get his people, and we will have eternal life with him. My Lord, Romans 8, verse 11 says this. I'm still in the NIV. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, you see the qualifier, it says, and if, because Paul was always addressing these false Christians. People claiming to be Christians, but they couldn't produce the good works. See, you don't produce good works to be saved. Good works come out of you if you are saved. That's the difference. Let me read verse 11 again. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's the spirit of God, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. That's powerful. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 14 to 21. And this is the New King James Version. It says, for the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, talking about Christ, one died for all, then all died. Our old self died. If Christ died for you, our old self died. Verse 15 says, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Now that's self-explanatory. If Christ died for us, our old selves should die, and we need to be living for him today. Share the gospel with someone in need. We are living in this dying world. This world is dying right before our eyes. Now, some of it is prophecy coming to pass and some of it isn't. But people need to be saved today, which is why in 2024, my episodes and my messages will be more about Jesus and salvation. That's where my area of expertise lies. It lies in salvation. Can't nobody challenge me with the salvation part. What I say is bring it. I've received emails with questions, which I love questions, asking about certain things or something they read that they misunderstood. And then when I explained it to them, they, okay, I didn't realize that. Well, if you know you don't understand what you're reading, you need someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit to share these scriptures with you and to give you the revelation of them. And I don't actually give you the revelation. God gives you the revelation. I can plant a seed and I can water, but it is God who gives the increase. It is God who gives you understanding, which is discernment and the revelation of scriptures, when his chosen teachers share them with you. It is his responsibility. I'm not going to work that hard trying to help you understand. If you refuse to have that spirit of Christ in you, which is the spirit of truth, that will give you the understanding if you hear the truth. If you refuse to have that in you, I can't help you. And neither can God. Remember, I already read scriptures. It is God's responsibility to lead you to Christ. And it is God who will share with you who Christ is. I read those scriptures with you. Jesus told Simon, it is not man. Flesh and blood didn't tell you about me. Flesh and blood didn't tell you I was the son of the true God. Oh no, that came from my Father in heaven. So if you are not understanding when scriptures are being read to you, I suggest that you go get on your knees and say, God, I confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. And if God searches your heart to see if you are sincere, immediately he will place his seal, the Holy Spirit, in your heart, and your eyes will begin to see. Your understanding will begin to open up, and you will start understanding things you never understood before. So let me read 2 Corinthians verse 5, beginning at verse 14 again, so that we can understand this. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's who we should be living for, Jesus. Verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer, not according to the flesh, but the spirit. We connect with Christ through our spirit. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And verse 18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. See, we can't get past Jesus. You must know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Okay, let me read 18 again. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is the message we should be teaching. How we are reconciled to God through Jesus. Verse 19 says, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. I don't care if you killed 12 people and 8 their children. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. How many times have you heard somebody say when they seen something bad or tragic on the news, oh, God ain't gonna never forgive them. You're not speaking on behalf of God. Why do you think God sent his only son to shed his blood on Calvary for the forgiveness of sins? And let me tell you something, sin is sin. If you lie, you steal. In the eyes of God, lying, stealing, and killing are the same thing. The punishment is death. So it doesn't matter what sin you have committed. God still forgives you through the blood of Jesus. Only if you come to Christ. So don't let nobody fool you, because they have some false teachers out here in the body of Christ telling you, oh, it doesn't matter if you accept Christ or not. It's called the doctrine of inclusion. It doesn't matter if you accept Christ or not. You don't have to accept him. What Christ did on the cross, you are forgiven. In the end, everybody going to be with God. Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. And just based on what I shared with you thus far, you know that's not true. It's all about Jesus. And the latter part of verse 19, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's what we should be telling people, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. No matter what you have done, your sins can be forgiven. So when Satan comes to you after you come to Christ, reminding you of your past, you tell him, Honey, I'm a new creation in Christ. My past is my past. I'm walking in newness of life. Ain't nothing you can do to me, so go on next door. Go ahead, next door. Verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21 says, for he made him, talking about Jesus. God made Jesus. God is the he made him Jesus who knew no sin. Jesus did not commit one sin when he walked the face of this earth to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God doesn't see us, saints. He sees Christ as the only righteous flesh to walk this earth. So if you are in Christ, you are righteous because Jesus is righteous. It's all about Jesus. Not because you are righteous. Jesus is righteous. And if we are hidden in him, remember, that mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. My Lord, if Christ is in us, God sees Christ. He doesn't see us. That's right. We are righteous in Christ. So don't let nobody deceive you. Now, someone told me that you are forgetting that Jesus led us to God. Jesus was leading us to God. And so I said, what is your point? And he had no answer. Here's the truth. Without Christ, no one can or will ever get to know God. You're right. Christ reconciled us to God. But it's all about Jesus right now. When our life ends, when this world ends, it's going to be a different story. The Bible is clear. It says, then we shall see him as he is on his throne. The Bible says there's only one throne. That'll give you something to think about. Now, let's see what Jesus told Philip in John 14. John chapter 14, and I'll be reading verses 7 through 11. And I'm still in the New King James Version, by the way. I'm going to be in the New King James, I think, almost until the end. I can't remember if I switched from the New King James moving forward. Beginning at verse 7, John 14 says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. See, you can't know God without knowing Jesus. Don't let nobody deceive you. All these scriptures are here. And people always delving into the Bible and adding it to their, you know, denomination, adding bits and pieces of the Bible in their religion. But they forgetting all these scriptures. These scriptures been here way before them, thousands of years before them, or before we got here and before we learned about Jesus. But they so happen to skip over these scriptures. If you had known me, Jesus said, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you have known him and have seen him. Verse 8 and 9 says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Philip would not have been speaking on my behalf. So Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How clear can you get? I have seen and heard false teachers try to twist this script. You can't twist this. Try to twist this scripture to make you think Jesus wasn't talking about. Well, you know, he wasn't really talking about, you know, if you seen him, you really seen the Father. Wait, isn't that what this just said? What? Let me read verse 9 again. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He also, he who has seen me, Jesus said, has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus said, how can you say, show us the Father when I'm the Father walking with you? The Father is walking with you. Verse 10, listen to this. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the work. And Lord, please write verse 11, John 14, verse 11 in your heart. This is for the skeptics. believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Who else raised people from the dead like it was nothing? Who else cast demons out of people who were possessed by demons? People who were having seizures, Jesus just walked past and healed them. And the people stood up as if they were never sick. The lady with the issue of blood for all those years. No doctor was able to heal her. And all she did was come up behind Jesus with her strong faith. If I can just touch him, touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And Jesus felt that virtue come out of him and heal that lady. He turned around and told her, lady, your faith made you whole. Just by believing he can do it, you could be healed. I'm a living witness. I had a stroke back in 2021, was bedridden for 32 days. And if you see me today, if I didn't tell you I had a stroke, you wouldn't know it. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 11, John 14. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus is throwing this in the faith of the non-believers. Who else you seen do it? Who else have you seen do what I can do? And who else can give others such as me and the apostles the authority to heal the same way he healed? Who else can do it? No one can. No one can. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says this. We're talking about the deity of Jesus right now. The deity. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all. I said all leaves out nothing. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily, meaning Christ, God, the fullness of God was in Christ's physical body. That's what verse 9 means. The fullness of the Godhead was in Christ's physical body. Verse 10, and you are complete in him. We don't need no rituals. We don't need nothing else. We are complete in Christ and in Christ alone, who is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of all principality and power. The apostles were hard at work explaining to the churches, like they are explaining today and like I am trying to explain, and the other ministers and teachers and bishops of the body in the body of Christ is hard at work trying to explain that the false information that you are hearing and that they were hearing back in the day about Jesus was the total opposite of who he truly was. This is why Paul told the church in Colossae, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You don't need nothing extra. Man want to control people so that they can feel like they God, like they are God, just controlling you, setting rituals in place for you to do, getting you to jump over hoops and do backflips, telling you what you can wear, what you can't wear, what you can say and what you can't say. And Jesus is, he was only the Son of God. He wasn't God. Well, you didn't write these scriptures. So where are you getting your information from? That's what I want to know. Where are you getting your information from? Jesus was the opposite of what these false teachers were telling the disciples of Christ back in the day, and it took the apostles to come and correct them. That is why these letters were written to the church, and that Jesus was God in the flesh. Period. John, let's go to John. John, the Revelator. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then I'll read 9 through 14. I'm still in New King James, saints. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can we misunderstand that? The Word was with God in the beginning. The Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Who is he? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 says, all things were made through him. Through who? Jesus. And without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Still don't. So jump to verse 9. I'll be reading verses 9 through 14. It says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world, meaning every man has the ability to understand. Now, if you don't get it, you are choosing not to get it. Because I've had people misunderstand and use this as saying, see, the light, every man is saved because they come into this world with this light. No, they come into this world with the ability to understand. With the ability to understand the light, they're choosing not to understand it. Because if what you're saying is true, those who are saying that every man is coming into this world with this light, meaning they are already saved and they already have God in them. And oh, you won't believe some stuff I heard. And because of this one verse now, John chapter 1, verse 9, because of this one verse, they saying that everybody is a child of God. No, they're not. You have to become a child of God. And we're going to get to those scriptures too. Uh-huh. Verse 9 again. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world. Who? Jesus. And the world was made through him. Him who? Jesus. And the world did not know him. Didn't know who? Jesus. And they still don't know Jesus. Right now, you can get censored for saying Jesus on certain radio stations. Some of these stations will blank you out, and they supposed to be Christian radio stations. And they will tell you if you have a slot on a station, don't say Jesus is Lord or Jesus, you know, is God in the flesh, you know, because we can, you know, get cut off and shut off the air. What? If you deny me, I'll deny you. That's what Jesus said. I'm not going to deny him. You can shut me off anytime. I'm on platforms throughout this entire world. I'm being played in 17 countries. Now, if you exit me out or X me out because I'm saying Jesus is the only true God, well, then you just go ahead on and do it. Because they got street corners out here. I get on and preach the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. So let me read 11. What did I stop at? Telling you guys about verse 9, just because it says that light which gives light to every man coming into the world. No, that means every man has the ability. Every man has the opportunity to accept Christ once they hear it. Because God made us with free will. You can reject or you can accept. You have that right. That's how much God loves you. He loves you enough not to overpower you and make you do anything you don't want to do. It's called obedience. You can't be obedient if God making you do it. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us if we ask him, but you have to ask. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. That's the end of verse 10. Now, let me go to verse 11 and 12. It says, he came to his own, Jesus. He came to his own, the Jews, and his own did not receive him. The Jews as a nation did not accept him. But Peter and Paul and them, they were Jews. The disciples were Jews. Uh-huh. So it was the religious sector who didn't want to give up their authority in the church that refused to accept Christ. But if they knew the Old Testament scriptures, they would have known who he was. They really didn't know who he was because they wasn't bothering following the laws of Moses. They had implemented their own laws. They had changed the laws of Moses. Why you think that Jesus came and when he died on that cross, he did away with all those laws? We have to walk in one law, not the law of love. Because if you love someone, you won't sin against them. If you love God, you won't sin against him. That's right. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So this clarifies verse 9. So when I tell people that come to me and say, well, verse 9 in John chapter 1 says that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Okay. And your point is, did you continue reading? Because let's continue to read verse 11 again. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, that's the qualifier. But to as many as received Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You can only become a child of God through Jesus. Period. Those running loose out there, you may be a part of God's creation, but you're not his children. To those who believe in his name, that's the latter part of verse 12. Verse 13 and 14 says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The word became flesh. Verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, all things were made by Christ. That's what the Bible says. I'm just reading what these scriptures say. That includes the entire universe. Christ is holding everything together. Everything was made by him and through him, and he is sustaining everything. Now, for those skeptics talking about Jesus wasn't God in the flesh, Christ became the Logos. The Logos is the word of God. And the Bible clearly says, and the word became flesh. That makes him God in the flesh. The Bible says, and the word became flesh. The word was God, and the word became flesh. Okay. So when Paul came upon some people who were seeking God, here is what he told them. Some people who were seeking the true God, you know, they started off okay. Go to Acts chapter 17. This is the LSB, the Legacy Standard Bible, one of the most accurate translations of the Bible that I have found. I'll be reading Acts 17 verses 22 through 31. This is the LSB once again. And it says, starting at verse 22, so Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. Now they were seeking God. They just didn't know who God was. They just didn't know how to get to him. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, meaning you just don't know, this I proclaim to you. This was an opportunity for Paul to get these people on the right track and lead them to the true and living God. Verse 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to inhabit all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations. Now there are people, false teachers, who use this to try to justify different ethnicities being separated. That's what I'm telling you. They use verse 26, this section here, that, and he made from one man every nation of mankind, and your translation may say made from one blood, but it means the same, made from one man. Okay, every nation of mankind to inhabit all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitations. The reason why they were separate, boundaries of their habitations mean their languages. They couldn't speak the same language. So you know what happened at the Tower of Babel? When God made all those people, or certain people, certain groups, speak different languages because they were building a tower up to heaven. And God was like, wait a minute, they just might get up here. And so he changed their languages so as to confuse them so that they couldn't communicate. So this is the reason why man was separated. They were separated through their language, not the color of their skin. until Christ came. Okay, verse 27, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. My God, he is within reach. And Paul is about to share how they can get to God, how they can get to know the true God. Verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Verse 29, being then the offspring of God, we ought not to suppose that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the craft and thought of man. These are images that man created, not God. God is not found in silver and gold and in statues that man make. God is a spirit. He is not found, and let me say that again, the divine nature, this is the latter part of verse 29, being then the offspring of God, we ought not to suppose that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the craft and the thought of man. See, you can think and create an image in your mind. Some people are gifted enough to take their thoughts and make it come to life with gold and silver and stone. They can also write it on paper. And that is what these people did. And Paul saw that they were seeking God because he saw that inscription to an unknown God. Paul says, I have to stop and correct these people. I want them to know the true and living God just like I do. Verse 30 and 31 says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance. See, in the past, God forget, you know, he didn't forgive. He just overlooked, because all the translations say overlook. He overlooked pagan worship. Yes, he did. He overlooked you worshiping statues and images created by the hands of man that was created in their thoughts. He overlooked that because he knew he was sending a redeemer. He was sending a savior. He knew that. So he overlooked it. He's not overlooking it today. No, he's not. God is now commanding, this is verse 30, men that everyone everywhere should repent. Repent of your apostasy, worshiping idol and false gods. That's what man have to repent of. Verse 31, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he determined, that man is Jesus, having furnished proof to all by raising him from the dead. That's how we know Paul is talking about Jesus, the only one who was raised from the dead. Now, in verse 30, Paul tells them, in the past, God overlooked apostasy and pagan worship, but he is not overlooking it today, saints. Once Christ rose from the dead, all bets were off. All nations must unite in Christ. That means everyone, everywhere, that doesn't exclude anybody, must accept Christ as Lord for the forgiveness of their sins. And there are no exceptions. Go to Romans chapter 9. And I'll be reading verses 4 through 9. Remember, we are talking about you can't get to God without going through Jesus now. Listen. Verse 4. Who are Israelites? To whom belongs the adoption as sons? And the glory and the covenants? And the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises. Verse 5 says, whose are the fathers? And from whom is the Christ according to the flesh? Who is God over all, blessed forever? Amen. Verse 6 says, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Verse 7, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's seed. Now, right here, Paul had to clarify something for them. He's telling them, you do not automatically become a child of Abraham and a child of God because you come from Abraham. Because Abraham had more than one child. His first son was Ishmael. Ishmael was not the promised son that God promised Abraham and his wife Sarah. Isaac was. So what Paul is explaining here is just because you come from Abraham, one of his children outside of Isaac, doesn't mean you are a child of God. You have to accept Christ to become a child of God through Abraham's seed outside of Isaac. And trust me, I'm getting ready to read that. I just wanted to share that with you. He had to explain to them because we are children of Abraham. We are seeds of Abraham, not according to the promise. That's what Paul is trying to explain to them. So let me read verse 7 again and let me continue. We are already past an hour. Nor are they all children because they are Abraham's seed. But through Isaac, your seed will be named. He is telling them what God said. Through Isaac, your seed shall be named. Verse 8 and 9 says, that is, the children of the flesh are not the children of God. The flesh is Ishmael. Okay? The children of the flesh are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are considered as seed. The promise is the children who was going to come from Isaac. Verse 9 says, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Not Sarah's maid, because Abraham and Sarah became impatient and went and Sarah brought Abraham to her maid, Hagar, and made him sleep with her. And Hagar got pregnant and had Ishmael. Ishmael is not the promised child. You have to accept Christ. Now, those outside of Isaac, because there are a few chosen Israelites that God promised he would accept. And look, that has nothing to do with us. Okay. But God made a way so that everyone can be saved. He leveled the ground, made it even so that everyone, you can be his child if you come through Christ. Period. If you come through Christ. 1 Peter 3:18, New King James says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, one time, the just for the unjust. He suffered for those who were just and he suffered for those who are unjust, believers and non-believers. We all can come to him and unite and become children of God. Okay, verse 18 again, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That who might bring us to God? Jesus. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Christ suffered and died once for all saints. He died for unbelievers. He died for believers. He was put to death and rose from the dead in his full body. Not in spirit. His full body got up so that everyone on the planet can come to him for salvation and eternal life. I cannot say that enough. Everyone can come to Christ for eternal life. Outside of Christ, you're not saved and you will never be saved. And that's because the Bible says so, not me. It is not God's will that anyone should perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth and repent. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. Well, let me read verse 8 too. I'm about to close, saints. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, New King James says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to perish. But he set a plan in place and he ain't going to deviate from that plan because of you or because of me. We got to follow his plan. God will surely accomplish his purpose and promises, even though it may appear that he is slow in doing so. His timing is always perfect. He will appear to get his people. Trust me, saints. Now, as I close, I have proven in scripture that to have eternal life is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, who came directly from God. Jesus was the Messiah whom Moses told the children of Israel was coming and they should listen to him when he did get here. I also proved in scripture that Christ was God in the flesh. I could have gone on for 3 weeks with this. Christ came to earth for one reason, and that was to die for the sins of the world. Now, while he was here, he healed people. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. But he came to die for the sins of the world. Now, I will leave you with these final scriptures, saints. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might. Not there's a chance, but you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Whoever believes in who? Jesus will not be put to shame. Verses 12 and 13 says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way, the truth, the life. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus is the way to the Father. He is also the truth and the life. As truth, he is the revelation of God. As life, he is the source of our very being. Saints, we can't have eternal life without Jesus. We cannot spend an eternity in heaven when this world ends or when your life ends without Jesus. I hope you learned something today. Play this message for family and friends who are on the fence and who don't know this Bible, because I explain it in such a way that a two-year-old can understand it. Until next time, saints, peace out. I hope you were enlightened by this message. If you have any questions, please send them to talkingbibletruth.cd@gmail.com, or you can use the Q&A. And if you would like to support this podcast, you can donate from the platform you are listening on: Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, and a few more, and contribute an amount of your choice. Or you can send your seed to my Cash App. That's $ Dr. Kamala D. That is $ capital D, lowercase r, capital C, lowercase AMALE, capital D. Anything you choose to send will be greatly appreciated. Now, until next time, remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We as listeners walk by faith and not by sight. I am your host, Dr. Kamala D., rightly dividing the word of truth in peace and love. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope to see you next time.